The New York Giants had their second practice of OTAs on Wednesday afternoon, and we are back today to recap yesterday's practice for the New York Giants. Now, they will be back on the practice field in about an hour. I'm recording this at 11:15 a.m. They take the field once again here at 12:15 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday. I will have my reaction to that practice tomorrow. We're going to keep doing these next day reactions. But today, reacting to yesterday's Wednesday afternoon practice, and here are the major takeaways. Let's waste no more time. Let's dive right in. You guys know what it is. It's Fireside Giants presented by Prize Picks, and I'm Anthony Rivardo. Let's start giving our practice takeaways, and we are going to start in the receiving core. Now, there is a wide receiver that we are all really excited to see this upcoming season for the New York Giants, and that is Calvin Austin. Yeah, that's probably not who we're all thrilled about. We're thrilled about Malachi Fields. And if you guys didn't see yesterday's practice report, he had a big day. But today it was Calvin Austin, or yesterday rather. Calvin Austin III, if you guys aren't familiar, the Giants signed him to a cheap 1 year, I think $3.5 million contract this offseason. He previously spent his first three seasons of his career with the Pittsburgh Steelers as a depth piece, a rotational guy. Funny enough, he's the guy who caught the game-winning touchdown pass against the Ravens towards the end of this past season that ultimately resulted in John Harbaugh being fired and becoming the head coach of the New York Giants. So shout out to Calvin Austin for that, but also shout out to him for a hot start to his practices as a New York Giant. Now, I'll read straight from the practice report on Giants.com from John Schmelk what he wrote about Calvin Austin. Quote, Calvin Austin III stole the show for the offense on Wednesday. On the first day of practice, Austin got free in the secondary, running across the field on an over route and caught a pass from Jackson Dart that would have been a huge gain. Reading past some other stuff, Austin also caught a screen pass and bobbed and weaved through the defense for what would have been a huge gain of at least 30 yards. Dart also got the ball out to Austin against a Denard Wilson pressure package, hitting a slant after Austin beat press man coverage with no safety help on that particular play. It could have been a big gain. Austin caught several other short passes throughout practice. Even though Austin had more production, tight end Isaiah Likely had the top highlight of practice. We'll get to that in a second. Didn't mean to read that part. But ending the quotes there from John Schmelk of Giants.com, and you know, I kind of went through there. There were several moments that he mentioned over the last two practices from Calvin Austin. But what I've kept reading and seeing from all of these practice reports is that Calvin Austin, yes, he had that over route over the middle of the field, but it's been yards after the catch where he's really been popping off. It's been on screens, it's been on slants, it's been on drag routes, everything underneath. That's where Calvin Austin has been getting his targets from Jackson Dart. And then he's been bobbing and weaving, as the practice report said, to pick up some additional yardage on the ground with the ball in his hands. And a couple of takeaways here. Number one, Calvin Austin is getting a lot of opportunities right now with the starting offense with Jackson Dart, because of course Malik Nabers is still sidelined and so is Darius Alexander. So if you're looking at the fully healthy depth chart, Calvin Austin is not a starter. But if you're looking at the current depth chart, he is out there with the first team and he is very quickly becoming a high volume target for the New York Giants. However, even once Malik Nabers and Darius Slayton are back, the presence of Calvin Austin is still important because he is good enough to maybe play quite a bit with the starters this season as a slot receiver. Plus, when was the last time that we had this good of receiver depth? Last year when the Giants had some injuries at wide receiver, who was starting for them during OTAs and minicamp? Bo Collins, the undrafted rookie free agent, Montrell Washington, the undrafted journeyman, and Jalen Hyatt, who, let's not even get started on Jalen Hyatt. So that would have been the Giants' starting receiving core last year if Darius Slayton and Malik Nabers were injured. Of course, Wandale Robinson would have been out there as well. But this year, with Slayton and Nabers sideline, you've still got Darnell Mooney, you've still got Malachi Fields, and you've got Calvin Austin popping off in a major way so far through the first couple of practices. So I really like that. And I'll say this, Calvin Austin's kind of early hot start here to OTAs does remind me of last year when Montrell Washington was popping off. And the major takeaway that I have from this is just Jackson Dart has a type. He loves shifty slot receivers who can make plays in space, catch the ball underneath, and create yards after the catch opportunities. That was Montrell Washington last year. It was also, of course, Wandale Robinson last year. And this year, it could be Calvin Austin III. So don't sleep on Calvin Austin to actually see some decent playing time this season and rack up a bunch of underneath receptions, because the Giants offense, yes, it's going to change a lot this year, but that slot receiver position is one that Jackson Dart covets. He loves to target slot receivers. Calvin Austin right now is probably the Giants' best pure slot receiver on the roster. And what I mean by that is, yeah, Darnell Mooney can play in the slot, but he's actually traditionally played more of the Z receiver, the outside receiver alignment. But Calvin Austin is primarily a slot receiver, though he has kind of went inside outside in the past with the Steelers. I think the Giants are playing him right now in a slot receiver alignment. And we know that Jackson Dart loves to target slot receivers. Just look at the breakout that Wandale Robinson had last year. Now, moving over to our next takeaway, again, shout out to Calvin Austin, big first couple of days, but our next takeaway is Jackson Dart. His kind of dependency on those slot receivers and his kind of love for targeting those slot receivers is a takeaway itself that we kind of just mentioned, but I also just want to discuss the fact that Jackson Dart has had a strong start to OTAs. He's had a lot of completions. He's been threading the needle into tight windows. Yes, this is a different offense, or rather a different defense that he's practicing against since last year. This one is simulating a lot of pressures. According to the practice reports, there has been a good amount of pressure here and there, but Jackson Dart has been making passes despite the pressure, making passes with pressure in his face, threading the needle to Gunnar Olszewski on one reception and standing in there despite a Kayvon Thibodeau disruption, despite an Abdul Carter disruption. Those guys have been getting in the backfield, but Jackson Dart has still been getting the passes off and picking up completions. Now, in this practice report, what was written about Jackson Dart was this, quote, Dart made a couple of other plays during practice, threading the needle to Gunnar Olszewski between defenders near the numbers. He went to Gunnar later in the same period, hitting him perfectly in stride over the middle on a crossing pattern for a big gain during 7-on-7s. On the next play, he squeezed the ball to Malachi Fields in a hole between zone defenders on the left sideline, end quote. Do love to hear that he was making a hole shot on the left sideline to Malachi Fields. And again, we've talked about Fields. And one takeaway that we're going to continue to have here is that Jackson Dart loves targeting that big body of Malachi Fields. He's got a huge catch radius, a big frame, so you can put it up there and you can definitely take some hole shots on the sideline like we just read they did in the practice report right there. So love to see that Malachi Fields and Jackson Dart are already building some chemistry early in these OTA periods. But yeah, it sounds like Dart's been getting the ball out of his hands quickly. We know that's going to be a point of emphasis in this new offensive scheme. Matt Nagy always prioritizes quick passing concepts, getting the ball out of the hands of the quarterback so that the quarterback doesn't have to hold the ball too long, doesn't have to scramble all day long and try and make plays on his own. He wants the quarterbacks to play in the structure of the offense and have quick passing opportunities, then scramble, then play extend when necessary, not when desired. So it's good to see that already they're making it a point to get those quick passing opportunities available and producing often for Jackson Dart. So I do have some takeaways to flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and I want to get into that. I also do want to talk about the tight ends, as both Theo Johnson and Isaiah Likely had a pretty solid practice on Wednesday afternoon. But before we do dive into those takeaways, I just want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which of course is Prize Picks. Now, if you guys are not playing on Prize Picks yet, don't forget, it is America's number one sports picks app. Super easy to use, available in most states, including California, Texas, and of course, New York. Go over there, check it out, and you'll see all you have to do, pick more or less on your favorite player's stats, build your lineup, and it's that simple, and it's a lot of fun. And we've been having a lot of fun building these lineups here on the channel over the last few weeks, and we've got Knicks playoff basketball once again tonight at 8:10 p.m. What a game in game one. Can't wait for game two. Let's take a look here at some of the lines that they have for this upcoming matchup and make some picks. So immediately, the one that I'm going to take is Karl-Anthony Towns more than 3.5 assists. He cleared that in our last lineup that we did, that we cashed, that we built here on the channel. That was an easy one. I'm definitely taking that more assists for Karl-Anthony Towns, the facilitator of this offense. Now, I do kind of want to take some Jalen Brunson points, but I'm actually going to go a different route here. You see, they have this little demon on Mikal Bridges' points. That means that they're harder to win, but the lineup qualifies for higher payouts. I actually really like the way Mikal Bridges has been playing recently. Hit some clutch three-pointers in that game one matchup. I think he's going to do it again in this matchup. So we're going to go ahead and take Mikal Bridges for more than 14.5 points. And we're going to take less points from James Harden. Maybe some people think James Harden is going to bounce back in this matchup. I think the opposite. I think his issues are going to compound, and he's going to have another implosion in this matchup. So I'm going to take less points for James Harden. And then I got to find some sort of, do they have any Landry Shamet? I need to see, where are three-pointers made? Do they have Landry Shamet threes taking more than 0.5 three-pointers for the Sham God? Have to do it. Absolutely. And then let's throw some Jalen Brunson in there as well. We're making a big lineup today. We are having fun and we are celebrating. More than 30.5 points plus rebounds for Jalen Brunson. Abso-freaking-lutely. Give it to me. Let's lock in this lineup and let's see if we can win. So, guys, you can see how easy it is to make lineups on Prize Picks. You can follow me on Prize Picks and tail all my lineups at Anthony Rivardo. And, guys, do enjoy the Knicks game. I can't wait for it. And definitely play some Prize Picks lineups to make the game even more fun. Make sure to use code HMA when you sign up for $50 in lineups instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Thank you to Prize Picks for sponsoring today's episode. Now, let's dive right back into our takeaways from New York Giants OTA practice number two. So let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball for a second and talk about the pressure that's been applied. I'm going to read different excerpts from throughout this practice report from John Schmelk about the different pass rushers. So we had Abdul Carter got into the backfield, but Dart got the ball out before the play was blown dead. So a pressure there from Abdul Carter. Also need to make this note, in the first OTA practice, John Schmelk noted that Abdul Carter's bend around the edge was, quote, impossible to miss. So he's been popping off at these practices. If you remember last year during OTA's minicamp and training camp, especially, Abdul Carter was just a menace. He was constantly in the backfield. Guy plays exceptionally well when the pads are off. Also plays pretty well when the pads are on, but he is a practice MVP, that's for sure. And I do love the motor and the hustle from Abdul Carter. So what else can we find in here from these pass rushers? I did see Brian Burns' name. Yes, here we go. Two things I noted on defense, John Schmelk wrote. Early in practice, Tyler Newbin called over to Brian Burns after the first defense came off the field and ran over to talk about some aspect of the defense. It was good to see communication with the players working things out together on the field. Everyone is in a new scheme, and they are learning it as more is installed throughout the spring. I do think that's pretty important detail to kind of mention here. First of all, I like Tyler Newbin having a little bit of leadership qualities here and just kind of saying, hey, Brian Burns, come over here. Let's talk about this defense. Let's start working on the scheme. But also, this is a very different defensive scheme. Kayvon Thibodeau said at the Giants town hall meeting on Monday that this scheme reminds him a lot of Wink Martindale's scheme from a couple of years ago. Now, that's great for Kayvon Thibodeau going back into that Wink Martindale scheme because he had so much success there. But a lot of these players on this Giants lineup weren't here for the Wink Martindale scheme. So this is brand new to them. And it is certainly a much different scheme than any of the schemes that they were running last year under Shane Bowen or Charlie Bolin. So it's a big learning curve. It's a big learning process. But I'm happy to see there's communication, and I'm happy to see that they're working their kinks out now rather than in September. This is why the Giants practice so hard under John Harbaugh. It's so that they can communicate on these things, work on these things, and install the defense in an efficient manner so that they are ready to kick Dallas's ass week one on primetime. So I just thought that was a cool tidbit of information, a good detail, and some insight into the Giants process here as they rebuild their defense and install this new defensive scheme with Denard Wilson as their defensive coordinator. And also shout out to Tyler Newbin for being in that role. I think that Tyler Newbin is going to have a lot on his plate this year as he tries to bounce back from a really down 2025 season. Is this new scheme going to help him? It might. This is going to be a press-heavy scheme. It's going to be an aggressive scheme. And it's probably going to be a scheme that asks Tyler Newbin to get down into the box a little bit more often and also play from disguised coverage shells. So we'll see if that benefits him, if that helps him improve this upcoming season. I hope that it does, but I am really excited about the scheme, as you guys know. And if you guys have not seen my defensive scheme breakdown on Denard Wilson yet, definitely go check it out on the channel, explaining the different kind of coverage looks that you can expect and the implementation of all four pass rushers and a kind of modernized, revamped NASCAR sub package defense. So plenty more on that on the channel. Now, Kayvon Thibodeau was another pass rusher who was mentioned. Quote, Kayvon Thibodeau had an active practice getting around the quarterback a couple of times and showing a quick spin move to get after the quarterback. He also closed quickly on a couple of plays on short passes and was in the right spot to stop a quarterback scramble. End quote. So We all know that Kayvon Thibodeau has a prove-it year ahead of him. Let's put it that way. You know, the last couple of years hasn't been the player that the Giants expected when they drafted him top five in 2022. Thought his breakout came in 2023. Then he regressed in 2024 and regressed further in 2025. Giants had several opportunities to trade him away this offseason, but refused to trade him without getting the price that they deemed was worthy of his talents. Instead, they are fully prepared to play this upcoming season with Kayvon Thibodeau as edge number three, their primary rotational pass rusher. A couple things here about Kayvon Thibodeau. Number one, he's a pretty good run defender. He sets the edge better than most pass rushers do, and I think that gives him a lot of value in this Giants defense that desperately needs to rebuild their ability to compete against the run. So that's important for Kayvon Thibodeau. But the other thing that I think is important for Kayvon Thibodeau is this coaching staff change, because I don't think Kayvon Thibodeau was practicing hard enough. I don't think the defensive coordinator, Shane Bowen, I don't think the head coach, Brian Daboll, I don't think they were pushing Thibodeau enough. And I think that goes for most of the players on the New York Giants who didn't develop properly. Whether you're talking about Tibbs or Schmitz, John Michael Schmitz, or you're talking about Hyatt and Banks, a lot of these guys are busts. And a lot of them are busts because, yeah, maybe they didn't put the work in, but maybe they weren't pushed hard enough to put the work in. Maybe the last coaching regime didn't have them practice as thoroughly as they should have, didn't develop their skills quite enough. But John Harbaugh is doing that. He is pushing them. He is thoroughly practicing them, and he is trying to get them to develop. And that's why I think he has some reclamation projects in-house that he's really excited about, like a Kayvon Thibodeau, who he refused to trade this offseason, like an Evan Neal, who he decided to re-sign after watching the film. I think there are players on the roster that John Harbaugh is looking at and saying, if these guys practiced harder, they would be good football players. I think Kayvon is one of those guys. And Kayvon said during the town hall on Monday that John Harbaugh's practices are really hard. They're difficult, that he's already working a lot, and it's only May. So all of that kind of combines to me to say, I think Harbaugh is going to be able to get something out of Kayvon Thibodeau. And I'm really excited to see if a breakout does occur here as he enters year five of his NFL career. Year four. Okay, anyway, Kayvon Thibodeau, I'm really excited to see what he could do this upcoming season. But nevertheless, I do have a couple more notes on the offense as well before we wrap this thing up. Now, I want to talk about the offensive line because we did just go over a few of the pass rushers getting into the backfield and making some plays, having some pressures. Again, let's clarify, these are not padded practices, right? Any of the blocking that they're doing is very minimal contact. No pads on these practices, just shorts and t-shirts. But there was a note in here about the offensive line. Quote, Dart did a nice job getting the ball out quickly today, and the offensive line gave him space to operate in the backfield. So I do like to hear that. We all know the offensive line is configured like this. Andrew Thomas at left tackle, John Runyon at left guard, John Michael Schmitz at center, Francis Maui-Noa at right guard, who we're all really excited about, and of course, Jermaine Illuminor returning after signing back with the team at right tackle. So far, sounds like the offensive line has done a good job. Jackson Dart has had plenty of time to operate, but he's been getting the ball out of his hands quickly. We'll see what this looks like when the pads come on later in the summer, and we'll see, of course, the true test will be regular season, how the offensive line performs against different competition. But I do think these are all, you know, good signs so far in early OTAs that the offensive line is showing up on the practice report, as is the defensive line. One's winning a rep, the other's winning a rep. I think that's a pretty good note. Now, I want to talk about the tight ends before we duck out of here as well, because the play of the day was made by Isaiah Likely. If you guys didn't see the picture that was posted by the Giants on their Instagram and on their Twitter, Isaiah Likely went up there and made a ridiculous one-handed catch in yesterday's practice. Went up and he looked like he was hitting the Michael Jordan Jumpman logo, right? Like the Air Jordan logo. That's what Isaiah Likely did to snag this one-handed catch. Apparently, it was a high pass into a tight window from Jackson Dart. You know, that's fine. It's OTAs. I'm not going to overreact to an inaccurate high ball like some people on Twitter are doing over the Jackson Dart throw. But it was a high pass, and Isaiah Likely went up there and made a play. That's what Isaiah Likely and Malachi Fields are here for, right? Jackson Dart doesn't need to be perfect on every single throw now because he's got some guys with a big body who can leverage their frame, go up there, and make some of those tough catches. There's that viral catch of Malachi Fields, the one-hander that he made during his time at Notre Dame. I'm sure many of you have seen that play. If you haven't, definitely check it out. But having a big frame receiver in Malachi Fields who can go up there and make that catch, super helpful for a quarterback. He could be a QB's best friend. So can Isaiah Likely. Isaiah Likely really is a QB's best friend because he's a really good tight end. He's a big 6'5", huge frame receiving threat with a lot of speed for a tight end, but also he can play out wide. He can play in the slot as a jumbo slot receiver. He really is the Wandale Robinson replacement in this offseason that the Giants grabbed. And I'm excited about what Isaiah Likely is going to bring to this offense and how his big frame is going to help Jackson Dart get more completions over the middle of the field. As will Theo Johnson. Expect to see a lot of two tight end sets from the New York Giants this upcoming season. Theo Johnson had a touchdown in yesterday's practice on a goal line drill, and he had a deep reception down the right sideline on a flag route from Jameis Winston. So there were a couple of big plays from Theo Johnson delivered by Jameis. There was a huge one-handed catch from Isaiah Likely delivered by Jackson Dart. And of course, we've mentioned Malachi Fields already popping off. So those three big-bodied receiving threats that the Giants have in their offense, already getting plenty of targets, already demonstrating that their huge catch radiuses are going to help pay dividends for this New York Giants offense this upcoming season. If there's one thing we know about this Giants offense, it's going to be big, physical. It's going to want to punch you in the face. A lot of that, yes, applies to the run game, which is why we've heard a lot about how Scat's going to get a ton of carries, how the Giants are going to run the crap out of the football. Absolutely true. But they're still going to throw the ball. Jackson Dart's going to have plenty of opportunities to demonstrate his arm and take that leap in year two in this new offensive scheme. But that leap is going to be sparked by improved weaponry around him, a better offensive line in front of him, of course, better coaching, but some big-bodied receivers who can be a QB's best friend, like Theo, of course, returning, like Isaiah Likely, a newcomer, and also Malachi Fields. So those are the major takeaways that I have from this New York Giants OTA practice number two that took place on Wednesday, May 20th. Like I said, the Giants are going to be back on the practice field pretty soon here this Thursday, and we will have a recap for that either later today, but more likely tomorrow morning to recap the first 3 days of OTAs. Definitely make sure to subscribe to the channel because we are going to be doing practice reports and recaps of every single OTA and mini camp practice that the New York Giants do. And of course, that will be carried over into July when they have training camp every single day, practice reports and recaps. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe if you're new. Ring the bell. Comment your thoughts down below. Definitely make sure to follow us on all of our social media channels at Fireside Giants. And definitely check out Prize Picks down below in the description box and use code HMA when you sign up for $50 in lineups when you play your first $5 lineup. Appreciate everybody. Enjoy the Knicks game tonight. I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.